This is Andrew Hall. You're listening to Rippin' and Writin' with Mad Dog Henley, a podcast about writing, living, and working in the great city of Las Vegas. Join freelance writer Mike Henley and myself as we talk about current events, past experiences, and what the future holds for this incredible city that we live in. On this episode, Mike and I talk about the time his house burned down. It was a devastating chapter in his life, and he goes into painful detail about the experience that he had both in surviving the fire and the process of rebuilding after the fire. I also share some anecdotes of people that I know who have been in house fires. And we talk about the dangers inherent in fireworks, the problem with forest fires in and around our country, and we talk about some safeguards that homeowners can implement to protect themselves and ensure that if they are in a house fire, that they are able to get full compensation for the replacement of their belongings. So join us for this episode, and next up, we get straight into the discussion. So what's been going on, Mike?
Same stuff, different day. Just doing my PR and whatever I got to do, and enjoying every bit of it. So every day's a challenge, but we just keep on keeping on.
So who have you been working with lately on the PR front?
Family Automotive Group. Yeah, I can't call them a sponsor. They're friends, and I do their PR and stuff like that. It's really a cool deal.
Right. Yeah, you've known the family for quite a while, haven't you?
Pete came down from Panaca over 50 years ago, and it's really interesting because I tell everybody that what Howard Hughes did for Las Vegas real estate, Pete did for the automobile dealership, and Pete Finley opened up the doors to this town for automotive, and it's so fascinating that they came down this little two-lane road, him and Mary Jo and the kids, and they came down that road and started a new life. And I said to Cliff one time, I said, you know, this is very interesting stuff. I mean, how in the world did your mom and dad get the kids and everybody together to go down that two-lane road? And he said to me, he said, you know, because there's such a different way of life up there and stuff, which is really cool. And he said, and Cliff told me, he said, you know, I didn't want to leave because I was a star athlete and whatever up there now and back in the old days. And they love it here. They do more for this community than a lot of people. And it's so evident when you see them in their PR and in their TV and their radio and all that stuff. And it's an enlightening story of a family that came down here and look what they've done for them.
Yeah, for the community, they've provided jobs and they always treat their customers really well.
Yeah, it's, and I'm just fascinated in what they never slow down. They are in six states now, and they never slow down.
So it all started here back in the 1970s,
more than 50 years ago, and I'm not exactly sure when they actually got here, but we drove up there not long ago, which is an interesting note too. We went, my wife and I and her sister went up to Panaca and ended up, I'd never been there before. We stopped and got some hot dogs and or salad, whatever to eat or whatever like that. Just sat out in the middle of the park there in this little tiny town. And I told my wife, isn't this cool? People drive by and they say hello to you. How neat is that? And there's still some great, great, heritage there in Panaca and the Panaca rather, and the people up there, when you go up to see them in the grocery store and stuff, they know the Finleys, man. They know them more than anybody else, I'll bet you.
With the way things are now, you don't get much greeting anywhere you go.
No, it's terrible here. I walk just about every night, and I kind of find it interesting to see how many people I wave to everybody and say hello to everybody, no matter how many people I walk by. And it's interesting to see how many say hello and goodbye to you. I'm not sure the percentage of it, but it's different when you go away to a place like that. You think that this is all there is, and this isn't all there is. It's great, but it's not like sometimes we all kind of need the small town therapy, you know?
I go walking in our park right here. It's about a mile away from the house. So I walk from the house to the park and I walk around the park. I come in contact with, I don't know, maybe a dozen people, maybe two dozen people, depending on how many people are out that day. And like you said, I will wave and smile or nod my head and sometimes say hello. I would say, I don't know, out of the majority of the people actually respond to my gestures, but there is a pretty large percentage of people who either look away,
yep,
or intentionally, I can tell that they're like stiff as a board, trying not to turn and look at me.
They're scared. That's what it is. That's a lot of it. And you know, what I was going to tell you, this, we all have setbacks. And we had a bad, bad one in January of 2002. And that was, I forget how much it was, but a house fire. Just picture this. You're getting up in the morning and everything's fine and the kids are going to school and you're going to work and whatever like that. And about 2 hours later, as you're walking through the Valley Auto Mall, not the Valley Auto Mall, but or nearby in Valley Auto Mall, somebody calls and says, you better get yourself home. Your house is fully engulfed. It was a mess. And my point being is that that's when you find out who your friends are and who come to help you and who don't want to have time for that sort of thing. But I mean, have you ever been in a house fire before?
I'll tell you my experience with house fires about 10 years ago. My next door neighbor, it was 4th of July.
Ooh.
Yeah. They put out some fireworks and they didn't do it correctly. They were shooting off fireworks from their house. They didn't put them out, extinguishing them correctly. So they went to bed. Everybody was in bed. The entire neighborhood was in bed. And about midnight, somebody banging on my door. Yep. And yeah, we come out the house. The whole neighborhood is standing out on the sidewalk across the street from my house and my next door neighbor's house. And his garage was fully engulfed, like you said. Luckily, they saved the house. They were able to, the fire department got there fast enough to put the fire out and save the rest of the house. But they had to live in a hotel room for 2 months while they treated it for all the smoke damage.
Well, they and just think, we're just a few weeks away from the 4th of July again.
Yeah.
People use their head this year, please. You know, the fireworks thing is so out of control and nobody knows what to do with it. And what's ironic, and I think this is right, is most of the stuff comes from away from here. The fireworks, the illegal fireworks come from away from here and they come here and you and I suffer for it. So.
I agree. You know, they're nothing more than a nuisance nowadays.
It's horrible. And our house fire was a $450,000 fire.
So it wiped out your entire home.
Pretty well. We had a two-story, 3,800 square foot, beautiful house in a custom cul-de-sac, and it was gone.
Wow.
Can you imagine? I mean, I think you know about it, but you got nowhere to eat that night. You got nowhere to sleep. You got nowhere to brush your teeth. You got nowhere to go to the bathroom.
Yep.
And you have lost it all. And not only that, in our house fire, the front doors were open because they had to open it because the place was all on fire. But then they come out with their people from the lost people that come out and pick everything up. And everything you got is in their eyes. Somebody from Allstate showed up and gave us a check for $2,000 and told us how sorry he was. He was our insurance agent. And we went down to one of the hotels down on Blue Diamond Road, and we woke up, each of us woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning looking at the other one. And we said it in unison. We said, are you okay? I said it to her and Carmen said it to me. And it was like, Jesus, no, we're not okay. This is a mess.
You guys were probably suffering some of the effects of PTSD.
Oh my God, it was just brutal. But what was really cool was when our insurance agent came to see us, he said, I've got a house for you to see to get you out of this. Because since I'd never been through it before, I didn't know how long it was going to take or whatever. This fella had a custom, not a custom home, a tract home, but a nice tract home over across from Spanish Trail, on the north end across from Spanish Trail. And we walked in. He says, what do you think about this, Mike? I said, don't even go any further. Thank God we got that, because it was furnished. It was a model home in a tract place here that this thing happened to be available and the insurance company took care of it for us. Because everything you go through on that night, you want to know what in the world is going to happen next and where are we going to recover this mess. And when your insurance people know what they're doing, that makes life a lot easier. And my son and our insurance guy got to talk through this thing about how they're going to save our necks. And the competitors, Farmers and Allstate. And it was really, see, that was one of the good things that came out of this deal was these guys, they worked together.
Majority of those people are human beings and they care about people. And they really want to see you taken care of because it's nothing out of their pocket to make sure you get treated fairly.
Well, let me tell you something. We're building this house, having it built. And a guy named John Martin, who's passed away, but he was our agent from Allstate. Well, anyway, he came out to look at this house, which was just beautiful. And he says, Mike Henley, you need to listen to me. And I said, what? And he said, you are underinsured. Believe me, you are underinsured and you need to get hold of this thing. Thank God we did. We took John's word for it and he was right. Had we not upgraded our policy, we would have been in serious trouble. It could have been ugly, ugly, ugly. And what we ended up doing was we ended up, everybody told me that when you get you have a house fire, that you got problems. And it makes sense. You got water, you got fire, you got all everything that's haywire. And thank God all the people that we had were available and they were fair. I mean, because you don't know what you're doing and you don't know how you're going to repair this or whatever. And in our case, it actually worked pretty good.
So were you able to salvage anything of your belongings from the house?
Not much, because if it didn't have water in it, it had smoke in it. And a neighbor of ours at that time came to the house when the fire was going on. And he said, Mike, be careful about rebuilding your house, because now when it rains, he had same kind of roof that I had. Now when it rains, he said, you could smell it, especially in the summertime. And so we went another route and it worked much better for us. But it's so harrowing, man. I can't put it any better that to have to survive a house fire and know where you're going to be 6 hours from now, or whatever the deal is going to be. And it was just one of those fluke deals where apparently we thought it was they told us it was a canned light for some reason. And it took us down. But it was one of those experiences that you'll never forget. We had a little boy that walked up to our porch because we were right there by the porch when all this stuff was going on. And my wife and I were sitting there with some friends and this little boy came up to my wife and he said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I don't know you, but can I help you? I have some money for you. This little guy couldn't have been more than 6 or 7. And he came in with this big bag of money or whatever it was. I don't know how much was in there, but said, we're so sorry that you're going through this and we want to help you. And now that's the kind of stuff that's the good stuff that comes out of the bad stuff. A little tiny kid.
You said a couple of things that I really want to drill down on. First of all, you said that you don't know what kind of turn your life is going to take. And it could only be a matter of hours that change your entire life. Looking back, is there anything that you could have done to maybe have detected it earlier or prevented it from happening?
No, we didn't have a clue. When we met, after it was all over with, all four of us and everybody, and nobody could figure it out. And we had a ton of fire people, a fireman there too. And it was just one of those flukish dealings. I mean, that was 7 years after the house was built, 7 years. And all of a sudden this thing grenades. It didn't make any sense at all. And they finally, after several investigators went through the whole thing, and they came up with the idea that it was this canned light. And I was asleep on the couch watching TV the night before. And so they asked me about that. I said, yeah, but you know, why would it ignite 7.5 years later? I mean, sooner than 7.5 years later, because you can't make sense of it.
So it just illustrates that your fate is sometimes not in your hands. You just have no control over what kind of crazy turn your life could take at any moment. So the important thing to remember is cherish the moments that you have. Cherish. I know it sounds cliche. It kind of sounds campy, but it's so true. You have to cherish each moment. Every minute you have is precious, and you have to realize it. And it really takes something like that to truly understand that the meaning of that phrase.
Well, not only that, but you know, here's another thing. This thing was a two-story house. And you think about it, when your house is on fire and that kind of, and you only have one out usually.
Yeah.
And if you don't take that balcony and jump, what else are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I think they do in other countries. They actually require that the house that's built has a form of a ladder that can get into our house or out of our house. And we didn't have any of that stuff. And that was, we really lucked out on that part of it, because had we been stuck there, if this thing would have happened in the middle of the night, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
You don't even want to think like that. And that's probably part of the reason that you and your wife were so shook up that, you know, that night, because you start thinking about the gravity of the situation. You lost everything.
Oh my God.
But if you had been there when that fire ignited, you might not even have your lives.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And then the other thing that you said that was really striking to me was the care and the outreach of the people around you. And it was all represented in that one little 6-year-old boy who came up to you and offered you his money.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, that is the most important thing that the human spirit can offer another human being, is in a time of crisis, you know, offer them your support and whatever they need, you know, just be there for the other person. Mm-hmm. And that's what people, I don't know why, you know, it takes a little child to be able to have that much care and consideration and empathy for another human to come up and say that.
Well, this has gotten so bad nowadays with the fireworks, illegal fireworks, not legal, but illegal fireworks, that, I mean, how many of us at 9 o'clock at night on the 4th of July aren't worried sick? We are worried sick every time we have this thing.
Yeah.
Because it's so out of control, and the officials apparently don't know how to get it handled. And I'm glad we're talking about this, because it's something that's going to come up again this time. And there is no deterrent in this mess. I mean, ours is, and yours and mine and everybody, most others are accidental, but these things are real.
Yeah.
And they don't give a darn. It just drives me absolutely nuts. You can go crazy on the 4th of July.
You know, California has been devastated with forest fires over the past several years, and it seems to be getting worse, you know, as time goes on. You would think, okay, everything's burned up in California, right? How are they going to have another forest fire? And then, lo and behold, they have the worst forest fire in history just last year up in Paradise.
Oh, yeah.
And my dad actually had a house. My dad was living in Paradise at the time of that fire. It wiped out not only his home. His home was burned down to the ground. His entire town was wiped out.
Yeah, because you're getting a forest fire. I mean, that's where we'll see a fire somewhere like that. That we were one house fire. It was bad, but we were a one house fire. And I can't imagine what people go through when they get in these forest fires.
Right.
Oh my God in heaven, it was a scary thing. It's just, I mean, it'll change your life. This kind of stuff is just brutal.
Yeah, that's getting a little dark. So let's take it back to talking about fireworks. They're just not necessary, man. When you hear these, sounds like gunshots going off or bombs going off.
That's what they are.
Yeah. And so, you know, so it seems like you're in a war zone.
You can go to Indian Reservation and get them there. Go to Pahrump, for God's sakes. You can go to Pahrump and get these things, but it's illegal to fire them off in Pahrump. But you can fire them off in Clark County. Don't get me going on that one. That is just absolutely sickening. And they can send them over there and bring over here and blow you and I up. Who the hell's not fixing this problem? You know, I mean, is it make any? I mean, I'm the guy that had the brain surgery, and I'm telling you right now, it's easy. It's easy to figure this stuff out, but they're not getting hold of it. I hope I'm wrong, but does anybody really, really get a kick out of this 4th of July garbage?
A lot of people do. Yeah, a lot of people like to get out there and go, you know, and get a kick out of it.
What do they feel like when somebody's house that they've set on fire goes to the ground? Then what do you feel like? It's just absolutely goofy. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was one time a few years ago, somebody behind us was going through all this armory stuff, you know, and just blowing up stuff till midnight, whatever. And I went over the next door and I talked to this guy. And I did. And he tried to cover his, and I said, this is not fair. Mm-hmm. It's not right, man. It ain't right. You got all these two-story houses around here, and you've lost control of this stuff. I think they've made some good moves in the right direction with these fireworks, in the county, and North Las Vegas is already putting out press releases about it. And I've seen them, and they're trying. But you know what? Back to the other thing. Where are these things coming from? Not here. They're coming from around our little part of Las Vegas.
Yeah. And they're now. Is it? Well, okay. Obviously, it's illegal to shoot those fireworks off, but it seems like everybody does it. And anybody who could do anything about it turns a blind eye to it.
Yeah, that's true. Not me, but you're right for the most part.
You know, I mean, the cops aren't obviously doing anything about it because they're too busy taking care of real crime.
Yeah, they got their hands full, and it's too bad. And I haven't talked to anybody in the know with the county or the city, but we talked about it a little bit last year, and I'm hoping that it's going to get better. And you know, the other thing that we don't think about, we're all dog lovers. Mm-hmm. You know what happens to these poor animals that get fireworks going off all over their heads? These things have heart attacks. They run away from home. Mm-hmm. They got nowhere to go, and they just get lost. And it's just to be a little bit repetitive. I don't know why we can't just kind of mellow out for the 4th of July, you know?
Yeah. There seems to be something that could be done, but enforcement is going to be the key, you know, and our police forces are already stretched to the limit. And what are you going to do? Hire private security to police that stuff? I don't know that there is a solution to that one, Mike.
Yeah. Well, we're coming up on it pretty quick, and I don't know about you, but I sure don't want another house fire.
No, you know what? It bugs me. It makes me nervous when people are shooting off their fireworks. Luckily, my neighborhood is pretty mellow about the fireworks situation. You know, a couple of the neighbors will shoot off the ones you can go down to the street, to the 7-Eleven, and they sell them out of the parking lot. Oh, those are legal.
Safe and sane.
Those just shoot up sparklers. They're not launching bottle rockets up into the sky or shooting off those mortars like they do down on the strip. But there are people who do those kind of fireworks, and that's just not necessary. I agree with you.
It's not a good thing at all. And it's even worse when you go back and you think about going back into your home that's been torched, and think about what you're going to do. I mean, rebuilding a burned up house is a mess.
Did you guys rebuild on that same property?
No, we got together with the insurance company and just sold it as is, and somebody else took it over. Mm-hmm. But we didn't, and they did a good job with it too, but we didn't want that responsibility of rebuilding this thing. And because going through building it is tough enough, but rebuilding a burned up house can be a real no win anywhere. I don't see it being anywhere. So we just, somebody that knew a lot more about construction than us took it, paid us, and we left.
Yeah. So, okay. So there's a reason that you decided to share this story with the people that listen to this podcast. Do you have a purpose for sharing the story?
It's just something that we are reminded about here, and when people honestly feel that they can't get hurt or can't hurt anybody else, it's time to think about it, because we're coming to the head with this firework stuff, let alone the house fires that we have. Yeah. And anything else. And it's just, you know, I don't know. I know, you know, Metro did get tough last year because they fined some people. And, and I know that story because it was like around our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And they fined them, and the fines were not light. They were big. And, you know what, I wonder why in the world they can get away from bringing these things in from other cities, other places. I mean, they're illegal here.
Why, well, like you said, they're illegal here, but they are legal to buy and sell in areas that are outside of Clark County. Yeah. You can go out to Mesquite. They're legal to buy in Mesquite. Mm-hmm. Or on the Indian reservation out there. I don't know if it's actually in the town of Mesquite, but the Indian reservation out that way. Pahrump, you know, like you said, it's legal to buy them in Pahrump. Why would it be legal in those towns to sell them?
I don't know. It's
that's where the problem is the distributors, you know, if they could quash the distribution of it,
it's a goofy deal, but I hope we survive this next one.
Yeah. Well, I honestly, I don't know the statistics, but I think they're pretty low of, a house fire actually starting accidentally from somebody else using their fireworks. Like I said, my neighbor's house caught on fire, but it was his own fireworks and his own mistake. It wasn't negligence. It was just an honest mistake. And he woke up, luckily, he and his family woke up and got out of the house before the house, you know, burned down. And even more lucky that they were able to get the fire department over here and put that fire out, and it was only contained to the garage. Mm-hmm. But the smoke damage, I mean, we even got smoke damage in our house from, you know, all the smoke.
Yeah. It's just a very, very scary deal, but you know, what the hey, we'll all survive it, but it's, you gotta be strong to get through it. I'll tell you, when you run into stuff like that.
So, yeah, I mean, you're right. I was talking about statistics, but statistics don't actually tell the whole story. All it takes is one house to burn down. It just seems like it's not worth it, you know? And people really need to think about it. You know, yeah, I'm having a good time for one night, but what happens if one of these fireworks goes haywire, gets out of control, and wipes out somebody's entire life?
I was really surprised at how many things we did save out of the house fire. And, but the biggest problem is, like I said, is the smoke. Mm-hmm. Smoke and water. And it's just, it's stunning. It's absolutely stunning.
Well, that fire up in Paradise.
Oh my God.
The one that wiped out the entire town. There was nothing left of my dad's house and his whole neighborhood. You drove through multiple neighborhoods, up and down streets, and everything was burned down to the foundations. They're still working on it, still trying to rebuild up there.
Yeah. It's a long, long journey, I'll tell you. But I think we survived. We're one of the better ones, if there is such a thing.
Yeah.
But thank God we had somebody good from the insurance industry, and they worked with our own son, who's another company. But these guys, I never will forget. We had a lady named Sally, and she was from the insurance company, and she was very, very helpful. She knew how to look at stuff and make sure that it was right or wrong or whatever like that. And her last name was Burns. I said, your name is Sally Burns and you're my rep? That's right. And I said, thank God for you, Sally, because man, we needed her at that time. And because when what happens is, after a fire, they start determining what stuff is good, what stuff is not good. And that's where your battles come. And having to go through all that stuff and decide what's right and what's wrong, and that's only part of it. That's just a little tiny bit of what happens when your house burns down.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and you got to go back and other. And
so, all right. So I asked you if you could do anything to prevent it, which is obviously the answer is no. I mean, there's nothing you could do to prevent that kind of a house fire. What advice would you give somebody to protect themselves or to ensure that they get the full reimbursement from their insurance company for all of their belongings in their house?
Well, you got to put that in your insurance company's hands and trust them, which they were good to us. And
but I mean, don't you have to inventory all of your items?
Yeah, you do, every bit of it.
So do you think it would be in somebody's best interest to go through and inventory all their products, all their items in their house?
That, you know, that's exactly true. Yeah, it should be done.
Do you recommend that? Is that like a good practice for any homeowner to do that?
Yeah, because it ain't going to happen to you, but guess what? It did.
Yeah.
And it did on me too. And it's going to take about a half a day, but to go through all your stuff. I mean, it's just humongous, the energy that you go through and the cleanup and that sort of thing that goes through it. And we had some friends in another neighborhood whose house burned down twice. And with both times, it was over a coffee pot, different coffee.
Was it the same person?
No, same person, same house. They didn't know it was coming from the coffee pot, and did it the same thing, and it caught fire again. House fires within the same grounds.
Okay, they didn't lose the whole house, though, right?
No, but there's the other situation. You go ahead and take responsibility. You go ahead and go in and try to approve or whatever you want to do on this stuff. They say smoke is the worst thing of all.
Yeah.
All the water's not good either, but smoke is the worst thing at all. But and that's the deal that happens. This happens a lot of times with house fires, that people come in and they're upset about, and rightfully so, about the fact that this stuff didn't get fixed. And that's what the guy told me that had the two-story house. Do not build another two-story house. And
yeah, I would never live in a two-story house. Personally, I don't like walking up and down stairs.
Oh my God.
I understand that the air conditioning bill for heating a two-story is double what it is for a single story.
Yeah, it's true. And you spent, why we built a two-story house, none of us can figure that out. But we'd never had a two-story house.
Yeah.
And it's just so many things can go wrong. And we're real happy with our single story.
Was it you and I that were talking about these new three-story homes over here in Tuscany? Were we talking about that previously?
Yeah.
A two-story is bad enough. Well, what do you think? How do you think it would be living in a three-story building?
I don't know. I really don't know, but I couldn't do it. Not after a house fire.
I told Flora and I went over to look at those models when they first started building them. They're cool homes. They're very, very cool to go in there and, you know, walk around and check them out. But after walking up and down those stairs in a couple of the models, the next day my knees were shot. And, you know, it'd be cool to have a platform roof where you could go out there and set up your barbecue. And, you know, if you want to get out of your binoculars and look out at the strip or get a telescope, look out up at the stars. Mm-hmm. But to get up and down them stairs all day long, oh, man.
Oh, we went through it. It's just amazing how many of us have fallen on that trap to go to. When you get the room, there's no problem for it.
Yeah.
But when you don't have the room, it's just, we never once had our stuff checked or whatever like that. I mean, they really didn't think there was any reason for it. And sure enough, there was. And, but you know, coming out at 3 o'clock in the morning, getting down that staircase and hoping to God you got a way out of that place. I mean, way back in when you got to get in.
Yeah.
We had a half acre. It made no sense. We had a half acre of land and put a two-story house on it. And it was just, that was one huge.
That's mistake. Right. And you guys built that house. Was it custom?
Yeah, it was custom.
Yeah, that does not make any sense. I would have totally built a nice big single story, you know, 3,000 square foot home in a single story is going to be a big footprint, but it's still, you know, it's going to feel like a roomy, comfortable house when you walk into it.
We love our single story.
Yeah.
We love our single story home. It's not dangerous. It's I mean, not that everything is dangerous, but it's just, we've been there.
Yeah. So, I mean, all things considered, was there a silver lining?
But yeah, I think the silver lining is being able to stand up and go, okay, what are we going to do next? And don't give up. And in fact, it's the irony of the thing is we had to go to Walmart with a check from the insurance company to replace everything because we didn't have anything left. And this young kid was in there boxing the groceries and he said, well, ma'am, how's your day going? Well, guess what? It didn't go worth a darn. We laughed and he just laughed, and, you know, and it was just like, you've never been through a house fire. You've never seen the bottom.
It's funny. It's such a trivial question and people throw it around that question, you know, how's your day going? You know, or how are you doing today? People don't understand that sometimes you ask a person that question and it just happens to be the worst freaking day of their life. Okay, folks, sorry about that. We lost Mike. I'm going to try to get him back on. Give me just a minute. Yeah, and, you know, bottom line, it was a terrible, terrible chapter in your life. You guys got through it, luckily, with your lives intact and nobody was injured. And then, you know, you guys were able to rebuild.
The other thing is that, you know, how you're scared to death building this house.
Yeah.
So you do it. Now you think you're not going to be scared to death trying to rebuild this thing? It's got all this crap that could be, you can smell it, feel it, and all works.
Yeah.
Who needs it?
Well, it sounds like you guys have a new house that's even more of a home to you guys than the previous one.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got carried away, and that was our fault. And they did it again. Nobody can put the blame on anybody because of the fire, because we don't know.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. It's a God thing that happened, and we just said, oh, now what? In fact, I should have told you, but I showed up, and my wife's, I'd call my wife's boss and ask him to bring Carmen home because I didn't want her to drive that enough that I was. And she gets out of her car, and she gets out of the car, and she says, what are we going to do now? And I said, we're going to bulldoze this damn thing and start all over again. Which I didn't put in the deal, but it's so terrifying.
So, again, Mike, thanks for sharing your story. And okay. Look forward to talking to you again in a future episode. And hopefully we'll come up with some more interesting things that we could share with these people.
You have a good night.
All right, you too then, Mike.
All right, see you later, man.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Rippin' and Writin' with Mad Dog Henley. To learn more about the podcast, or if you'd like to contact the Mad Dog himself and see what he's writing about, please visit the Mad Dog blog at mikehenley.com. Rippin' and Writin' is produced and edited by Andrew Hall, and the music for this episode is the song Cruiser by Magic in the Order. That's it for this episode. Tune in next time, and thanks for listening.